Hey, America.
Start listening now. Ooh, it's all me this week.
Yeah.
You just took the title
by the horns and ran with it, Danny.
Yeah, I just got to do it.
Nice work, Danny.
It's nice to start out what is definitely take one of this episode, and definitely not take two, because someone accidentally erased take one. Derek is no longer in charge of rolling the music. Sam, roll the music!
All right.
I've got a cake to bake. I've got no clue at all.
Oh, no.
What?
Derek, I'm trusting you. Roll the music. And welcome to another controversial episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America, where apparently winners do use drugs. I'm Eric.
I'm straight edge.
I'm highly confused.
I'm Danny.
We're happy that you guys are with us on this final episode of our reviews for the...
I made it weird.
What? Us making it weird? Never.
I don't know what happened.
But you are with us for our final episode of our 2020 Eurovision Song Contest reviews for the songs.
Honestly, if this is going to be the week when we decide to make it weird, it's on brand for the countries that we're going to be getting to.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So just looking at the roster that we're going to foist upon all of you guys today, we've got Azerbaijan, Poland, San Marino, Italy, North Macedonia, Serbia, and finally, the potential prospective host country that isn't the host country anymore, the Netherlands. But before we get started, just a quick reminder, feel free to check us out on social media, Facebook and Twitter. It's 12 Points USA. Check us out on our major actual homepage that we sometimes update. Yay. 12pointsfromamerica.com, or you could email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
You know who we do like hearing from? Actual competing Eurovision artists.
Is that your signal that you want to hear the Azerbaijani song?
No, it's me going to brag that 12 Points from America got mentioned by Daddy Freyer on Twitter.
Not necessarily mentioned.
He didn't mention it.
Yes. Yeah. He just
liked our tweet.
He did like one of our tweets. Shout out to Daddy Freyer, friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Well, we do want to throw forward a little bit to our friends over at Eurostream 2020, who's going to be happening over in the next couple of weeks. It seems like the lovable scamps over at 12 Points from America will actually be basically hosting their second semifinal, we just found out. Mm-hmm. Yep. Hopefully we can get all the technical doohickeys all worked out.
Mm-hmm.
But really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Listeners get excited to hear 12 Points from America host a big Eurovision show for the first and last time. We're going to make it count. It's going to be great.
I'm going to be the Mon Zelmerlo of Zoom meeting Eurovision hosting.
So for more information on that, check out Eurostream 2020 on Twitter, facebook.com/Eurostream2020. And we'll catch you on the flip side of that.
Just
trying
like
to stay busy.
We will have an appearance from Santa Claus. Anyway, let's go to our first country.
Yeah, it's about that time.
Yep.
Oh, hey, it's Azerbaijan.
Oh, where do we even start with this? Yep, we got Azerbaijan coming up. That is Effendi with Cleopatra. Actually, no, I'm sorry. I mispronounced it. My mistake. It's Cleopatra. Did I get it?
Got it.
I think that was right. Yeah. A goddess, a temptress, the way he left her. It was shameless. She was her worst enemy. Just like me, just like me. Riding on back with a vengeance. I found my inner voice again. Now it speaks to my soul loud and clear. And it sounds like this.
All right, so that was Azerbaijan opening up our show today with Effendi singing Cleopatra.
It sure is.
Because nothing says Egypt quite like the Buddhist Lotus Sutra.
I mean, where do we start with the hodgepodge that this is? I feel like we need to take, now that we've been exposed to Azerbaijan, I feel like we need to take this step by step. Opening moments. Cleopatra was bisexual just like me. That's a bold start. This is a bold start. We seg into a good pre-chorus, fine, pre-chorus good, and then time to do some exotic Katy Perry in the Dark Horse video style chanting. I don't know where to start with this one. No, I know exactly where to start with this one. I don't like it.
There are elements of the song that I do really like. It's
like what?
It's produced to within an inch of its life. It is ridiculous. It is crazy. It is what a lot of people would tune into Eurovision for, to be honest. The madcap, the unexpected, the high energy.
I do have to side with Eric, who voiced the fact that it would probably be worth watching Eurovision this year just to see how they staged this.
Absolutely.
Song.
Yeah, because Azerbaijan doesn't do anything half-assed when it comes to their Eurovision staging.
I mean, last year they gave us open heart surgery with a guy turning into a CGI genie. I liked that. That was pretty stellar.
That was subtle by Azeri standards, man.
I know. I kind of want to know what would happen if like Azerbaijan and Belarus competed next to each other with like dueling Cleopatra headdresses.
Oh my God.
Like Belarus, more understated.
That's a statement that you don't normally hear.
I feel like the Azerbaijani have really gone in a strange direction by openly acknowledging the existence of gay people. Nice to see they're courting the gay vote. Unfortunately, this song sucks. So they lost it.
Derek, Eric, what do you guys think?
Eric, please weigh in because I actually know you like this song.
I love it. I absolutely love this song. It is the bop to end all bops. I loved Sam's description of it being produced within an inch of its life.
It is just reworked dough. Yeah.
It is everything and a bag of chips. It's nuts. It's absolutely crazy. And yeah, the staging would have made Fuego look like Silent Storm or like, I don't know, that Montenegro thing from last year. That's what it would have done. This would have been an absolute showstopper, just absolutely unreal, crazy.
That's true. It does build. It's got the energy. Mm-hmm. I mean, but the it's a question of, and I can't believe I'm saying this on a Eurovision podcast, a question of taste.
It's ridiculous in every imaginable way, and it works for me, but sort of the same way that like Samantha Tina doesn't work for a lot of people, or Chainsaw U doesn't work for a lot of people.
Oh boy.
I can see why this would also not work for some people. I think this song is orders of magnitude better than either of those, especially Chainsaw U.
Yeah.
But I love this song, and I don't care if I'm the only person who loves it. I really don't.
I guarantee you're not the only person who loves it. That's the thing.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you're not alone on this.
Please point me in the direction of the other people who like this song.
I mean, granted, that's towards Baku.
Okay, that's fine.
It's a this long country, trip.
I'm running. I'm scared.
You've seen our country? It sucks. Let's just go. Anyway, I'm being harsh on America this week. I don't know what's...
In 2016, we all looked into immigration. I think most of us were like, all right, good health care. And Eric and I were just like, yeah, but how do they do in Eurovision?
Yeah. So anyway, I'm moving to Sweden. But Derek, what do you think of Cleopatra?
I think it's a really interesting song. Of all the songs that came out this year, I think this is the one I'm the most disappointed we won't get to see live.
I will at least acknowledge that. Not being able to see it is a disappointment.
And the thing about Azerbaijan is they bring the crazy. I mean, they spare no expense. They go all in every time. And with a song like this, absolutely anything would have worked. They could have just gone completely all out and no one would have questioned it.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm picturing. Completely drop all the lights except for spotlight on her, and camera one does a 60s style rack zoom straight into her eyes, and she does it straight. She just drops down into basso profundo and sings it straight, then jumps right up to do the I'm missing out. We're missing
there,
out. The world
is there, because I know like when you breathe in helium, it raises the voice. Is there a gas that if you inhale that it will, you know, not kill you and lower
you?
Yeah,
chlorine gas.
Chlorine gas will do that? What?
Well, they could use sulfur hexafluoride gas. That lowers your voice. They did an episode of Mythbusters about it.
Ah.
Is there any... I'm going to have to ask the folks at the EBU if it's legal to bring, you know, random gases on stage.
Yeah. Staging
that would have been so weird.
Next year.
Oh, wait a minute. It's been done. Not with like lowering the pitch, but France. They did that. Yeah.
It's been a while since we've had Sam pulling an encyclopedic knowledge back out of her butt in a... in an episode. Please indulge me, Sam.
Sebastian Telly, I want to say it was 2008 for Divine. Halfway through, he pulls out a helium balloon.
What?
And pulls on it before launching into the second verse. Yeah.
It's called a hoodecking. I'm just imagining if she did do something like that, and then it would have really made the song weird because she would go, and it sounds like this. Okay, hang on a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a bummer we're not going to see her do that. Mm-hmm. Too bad.
I mean, they obviously really, really wanted this song. I mean, they spent a lot of money to get it.
Oh, yeah, right. Supposedly.
This is the one that had the bidding war.
Yeah, supposedly there was a bidding war for it.
I mean, what would you even do on stage with something like this?
Flame curtain. I mean, easy. All of the things that cry out to be a major indulgence at a Eurovision performance, throw them all in.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, the song is like a visit to a really nice buffet that just has food from all over the world. And you can go up and grab a plate and just pick bits and pieces of things that you like. And once you get back to the table, though, and you look at it, nothing really goes together. But it's all delicious and kind of satisfying in a way. I think what happened was at no point during the production, somebody said no.
Every single slider on that production dashboard was meddled in some way. Yeah.
What I'd really like to know is, what was the original song like?
Yeah, what the demo was like?
Yeah, what did it sound like before they got their hands on it? They were sitting in the studio listening to it, showing Effendi, like, okay, what do you think of this song? And she's like, yeah, let's do it. And we can remember, Truth was originally a symphonic song, and they managed to infuse a lot of Aziri culture into that, too. Especially when he holds that high note at the end.
Right. Yeah, this was an improv exercise. This is all pure yes and, really. And I'm really looking forward to seeing, because Effendi has been confirmed for Azerbaijan for next year. So will anything that they pull out of the hat for her top this in terms of crazitude?
She's going to have a song about Helen of Troy.
Hatshepsut.
Ooh.
Empress Wu. Yeah.
Or Mark Antony.
Sorry, did you say Susan B. Anthony?
Well, a song about an American suffragette would be a winner, I think.
A queen like me. We should stop before we get sued by someone. Our next song, yeah, our next song is not offensive in any way. It's Poland, Empires. Song time, go!
No, looking down, there's fool's gold in our
Okay, that was Poland's Alicia with Empires. Who wants to take this one first?
You. Oh, you
okay,
do it,
fine.
Sam.
Okay, fine. I'm incredibly impressed by her vocals. She's only, what, 17 and she's singing like that? There's a really, really rich tone to her voice, and I really do appreciate that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's a youngin.
She joins the proud club of, guess what? She's 17. You thought she was 30.
Yep.
That's Eurovision. Yep.
It's interesting considering that there are so many junior Eurovision songs from 2019, so this most recent contest, that were all about the environment. And I feel like this is just a half step more mature and only slightly less subtle, or more subtle, I should say. Like, it's beautiful.
Well, I will say this. I mean, I feel like all of the lack of subtlety is in the music video.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like the song's lyrics really... It could
have been a love story or a broken heart.
It could be something that's not about environmentalism. But we have to appreciate the fact that this song is about that. I think it's the only one this year that really has an angle like that.
Absolutely. As opposed to like half of the songs in the junior Eurovision roster this past year, we're all save the world, save the world, save the world, high note, save the world. And that was just Spain. But I think that the song is really beautiful, but I feel like we've had this style before.
It joins the genre that Derek is going to bemoan, which is the would-be James Bond theme song.
Exactly. You bemoan everything.
No, I do not.
See, you're doing it again.
No, I'm not. It's a really strange, almost a genre unto itself in Eurovision, the James Bond song. And there's always a couple every year that we could pick out and say, oh, this is the James Bond anthem. They're always there, but they don't typically do very well in the contest. I mean, with the exception of Conchita Wurst, we there aren't really a lot of notable, memorable Bond songs that have come up over the years.
I feel it's a contrast thing. They always do stand out in a pleasant way, but I think not a memorable.
Right.
I mean, it's a great way for the artist to show off. It's a big, sweeping sound, a lot of big notes. They can do a huge range. They can really show off their talent and what they can do.
A lot of drama.
But certainly not the most memorable song.
Not every James Bond song can be Duran Duran's View to a Kill.
Certainly true.
But
certainly,
it should be.
True.
I will say this, it should be.
Oh, it's the worst James Bond movie with the best song.
Moonraker is the worst, and it also has one of the worst theme songs.
I would really like to see her do something with a little bit more substance. I mean, she's obviously very talented. She hits those high notes really well. We do have a live recording of her, so we know she could pull it off.
The orchestration is there. I just think the song has failed the singer here.
And it's also a little bit heartbreaking for at least me, and I believe Danny as well, the fact that this just tipped Lucy by Lake Malawi.
I know. Yeah. You know, Albert Cherney could have been here singing some kind of another song that I'd give a 10 out of 10 to, but instead we're saddled with this really middling song from Poland.
Maybe next year, guys.
I feel like we'll see Albert again. It just seems like he's going to be around.
I sure hope
you
so.
Know?
I hope so. Well, as everybody's
not much else to glamorize or demonize about this one.
It's fine.
It's sadly forgotten, even though it's not terrible.
Yeah, but she's got a great future ahead of her. I think her voice is great. But just come back next year, maybe, hopefully, with a different song.
Nobody asked me what I thought.
I'm sorry, Eric. Go on.
Oh, I agree. It's not great.
Okay, let's move on to the next song. Ooh, boy.
Ooh, boy.
I
feel like we could play this song for the listeners and not let them know what country it is, and they'd still get it right. It's San Marino. Her name is Senet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were just throwing right to the song.
Her name is Senet. The song is Freaky. Ooh, boy. That's it. That's okay. That's where we do it. I'm going to listen to it again. I don't care what you say.
They say we crazy, I must be faking, but you and I, we like it freaky, freaky, freaky. Drinks on rooftops and kiss in the dark. Dance around it at night in the park. Sparkle it up, dress in the colors, cause life is good when we freaky, freaky, freaky. So when you touch me, I feel you over my body.
All right, that was Senet from San Marino getting freaky, 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 freaky.
Every time I watch that music video, whenever it hits the 1 minute and 50 second mark, there is someone who jumps onto the screen who looks like she's walked straight out of my worst acid nightmare. And I wish that I could say that is the weirdest part of this music video, but it really isn't. And it's just... it's so San Marino. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a comment that's going to be lost on people who are not crazy into Eurovision. Whatever. Everyone listening to this podcast already knows Eurovision. It is the most San Marino thing that has been sent, and that includes Serhat from last year. This is too much. And by too much, I mean just the right amount. This is a great song.
I think it's great that they did sort of a national final vote sort of thing for this, where there was this song, and then there was another song called Obsessed that I think was, and I think everyone basically agreed, it was objectively the better of the two songs. But everybody was like, okay, yeah, but we have to send this.
Yeah, but we have to send Freaky.
Got an exclamation point. Of course you send Freaky.
The exclamation point is very much deserved. I just appreciate San Marino's continuing slavish obedience to the idea that they cannot possibly send a song that is relevant in any way, like since like 25 years ago. This is a hot fever dream of like a drug-induced cocktail while listening to S Club 7 on heavy repeat. This song would have sounded retro in 1998, and now it's 2020, and we are so far removed from it that this seems like a museum piece of pop extravagance. And unlike Azerbaijan, where I feel like it was produced within an inch of its life, Sam, good wording there.
Thank you.
This one, all of the production, much like Sandro, is so warranted. It seems to just elevate the song into that neo-disco bubblegum pop garbage that is so good. Thank you, San Marino, for this thick layer of nacho cheese. This is so good.
I love how San Marino is just leaning into this.
Oh my God. Yeah. They couldn't have sent a more San Marino song.
I mean, the only way it could have been more San Marinese is if it had literally been filmed at like the castle on the top of the mountain that is basically their entire country.
I was going to say, isn't that mountain every inch of land they own?
More or less. It's basically that in Valentina Minetta's backyard. There's very little else. I have a very, I hate using the term guilty pleasure because I feel like pleasure is just pleasure and you just love what you love and screw anybody who tells you not to. This is just pure, silly, effortless joy. And you could tell that Sinit is having the time of her life doing this. She's not taking herself too seriously.
Imagine how much fun all of these dancers and singers would have fun on stage.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, and I imagine them like after the shooting is over, everybody going over to like the local bar by the soundstage, wherever they film this and just laughing their asses off. Like, I want to be part of this. And I hate myself for wanting to be part of this somehow.
Can we scale of 1 to 10 rank the things that she alleges are freaky though on terms of
yeah, that's true. That's true. Like I worry about her
kissing in the park, drinks on rooftops.
Yeah.
Dancing. Is it dancing in the park?
Kissing
in the dark and dancing in the park.
Wearing colors.
Mm-hmm. Wearing colors. And she insists that our love is cuckoo completely.
So yeah, I do worry about what her definition of vanilla is. And it makes me realize that I'm more freaky than I myself thought. I mean, maybe this entire thing is just a thought experiment. By her saying that things that are vanilla are freaky, she's telling everybody that you yourself are freaky and to get down with your bad self.
The real freaky was the friends we made along the way.
Aww.
I agree that this song is great. I'm going to say San Marie, yes. To San Marino.
Blech.
It's super fun. And like the production gets the disco stuff right. I feel like it feels like a chic song or something like that from like the late 70s.
It gets those string hits just right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's seriously well done. I mean, remember when Daft Punk did a disco album and everyone was like, this is genius, which is kind of a weird thing to think about. This isn't genius, but like
it
hits some of those notes. It's really quite good. I think it would have given them a pretty good result, honestly.
Yeah, I think so too. And honestly, if it didn't, I don't think Sinit would have cared. She still would have been going out there and having the time of her life.
And freaky, freaky, freaky.
Yeah, like I met, Sinit was probably one of the first Eurovision artists that I really had the chance to meet. Because like the San Marinese table in Düsseldorf was like one table over from where we were. So I got to know the delegation decently well. And she was genuinely one of the coolest people I'd ever gotten the chance to interview.
Like, she's a returning artist?
Yeah, she's a returning artist from 2011. Totally different song from 2011. Her song Stand By was this very sort of sweet ballad. Not incredibly memorable. Didn't make it out of the semifinal. But she was lovely. But she was so down to earth and funny and vibrant and just very welcoming. Like you could tell that this is a person with great talent, but had like this, I don't want to say aura because I'm not, you know, that kind of loosey-goosey kind of aura. But she was just very warm and welcoming and just invited you to just join in with that. And I think a song like Freaky just highlights that beautifully, that she is just so inviting that you just want to go and dance and party with her. So I can't not love this. You hate it.
No, I don't hate it. All right. The thing that surprises me the most is San Marino comes back from the best result ever with Sirhat and decides the thing that worked last year was the disco. Let's do that again.
That was their best result ever?
Yeah.
They came in 10th in the televote.
Oh, that's right.
And there's something to be said for trying to replicate a success by doing more of the same, but I think they missed what the thing was in a way. I think the Sirhat leading into the Turkish diaspora really kind of helped out. And there was a novelty to it too that I don't know is going to work as well if they just do kind of the same thing again. But the thing I like about this song is it doesn't care what you think. It's doing its own thing. Mm. Like, here's the song. And then she just is like, whatever. Like, whatever you have to say doesn't matter. I had a great time. And that's all that's important.
I will say that Serhat's song had a little bit of a different message to it that was not aided by the fact that he started singing like a husky Pierce Brosnan for his finals performance.
He couldn't have planned to have the head cold that he ended up catching in Tel Aviv, though. You can't really plan for that.
There's nothing worse than a bearded 50-something guy leaning into a microphone and going, "If you're sad and lonely." Love him.
He's a character.
Anyway, this song is tops. I hope that this would have made it the top 10. This is made for Eurovision. This is gold. It would have either come in, it would have either not qualified or done spectacular. I'm convinced.
It would have been in the second semifinal. I think it would have had a pretty solid shot to make it out of there.
Thank God when we host this for Eurovision, we'll get to talk about San Marino.
I would have really appreciated if this had qualified simply because so many countries they seem so desperate to be loved. And this one isn't.
And taken seriously.
Yeah. I think that sometimes they're just trying way too hard. And even if it's a good song, I'm still like, and this one, she seems so genuine.
She really is.
Even if it's just a really silly throwaway kind of song, disco and all that. But man, oh man, I don't doubt anything she sang.
Yeah,
it's kind of a similar vibe to what we had talked about with the Irish song, that you connect with the singer, you connect with her. It doesn't feel like she's putting on any airs or graces. It's just you're kind of sucked into it because of the person who's delivering the message. It's not just the song, it's the whole package, and the feeling that you get from the person who's serving up the song is a massive, massive part of that. And it sounds obvious, but if you don't feel that you can connect with the singer, then what the hell's the point?
And we talked about that, like one of the keys to a winning song or even a successful song is like that genuineness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If it feels fake, nobody's going to go for it, or fewer people will go for it, I should say.
Are you saying this could have won?
No. I'm saying it's doing a lot of things
right. Let's
not
butter her biscuits too much.
Well, I'm sure she wouldn't mind that. But that music video, man, I don't know what to think of it. I mean, it's got the giant middle finger statue. It has this weird Catholic imagery. It's like the death of Jesus.
Yeah, the Pietà.
I like when she's posing the Pietà, which is talking about your hands all over her body.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
It's beautiful. It's garbage. It's hot garbage.
Yes.
This is postmodernism at its finest.
This one too?
Yep. It beat Russia again.
God, wouldn't that have been something?
I mean, should we take a step away from San Marino and then into their neighbor who has, you know, engulfed them completely?
Yes.
An amoeba eating a paramecium.
Their neighbor from all sides.
No escape. No escape. It's Italy. We got Fai Rumore from Diodato.
This is a weird advertisement for Italy. It's like,
we have San Marino inside of us.
To Italy and be consumed. Italy.
Quanto fuga torno sempre a te. Che fai rumore qui. E non lo so se mi fa bene. Se il tuo rumore mi conviene. Ma fai rumore.
Okay, so that was Italy's Diodato with Fai Rumore, or Make Noise. Who wants to start it off?
Derek?
Really? You know how I feel about this one.
Do I? I forgot. Tell me. Tell the audience at home how much you hate this song.
Okay. I want to say this is one of the best performed generic sad boy ballads I've heard in a while. I appreciate everything he's singing about lyrically. I mean, Italy and France traditionally have some of the best lyrics every single year, and they tend to do it in Italian and French, but if you look them up, the words are often just brilliant, and it's kind of sad. I have to go looking them up, but that's the language I chose to study. This one, I get what he's saying, and it's about a sad relationship, but I feel like I've heard this before. And as for as well as he sings it, I'm like, okay, that's too bad. I'm sorry it didn't work out with your girlfriend. Maybe next time.
Maybe next time. You know, I believe there's a man, I don't remember who he was, but he once told me, who cares if you're out of love? It happens all the time.
Did he tell you to something about sodium?
Calling his number, he'll call you anytime. I understand what you mean, Derek. This is a sad boy song. This is a capital S, capital B sad boy song. This is gunning for that same Duncan Lawrence demographic that made the Netherlands the winners last year. But unlike Duncan Lawrence's Arcade, I really like this song, and I understand its appeal immediately. There are certain effects that happen in this song. There's like this, I can only describe it as like, it's like a synth trickling sound that it sounds like the band Air created, and it's like playing underneath the chorus when he's really belting those songs. I fall for that effect every time. It gives me the little goosebump. I really like this song, and I appreciate that it restrains itself from deciding to do an upwards key change at the end. I appreciate that we have decided to stay in the same key.
The thing about this, though, is that we've only heard the original length version of Fai Rumore, which, yes, keep in mind, the rules for Sanremo are not necessarily the rules for Eurovision. That, yes, they pick, Sanremo picks a song for Italy that they don't care about Eurovision. They just happen to get the ticket if they want it. So the original version is 3 minutes 36. We don't know what the 3-minute edit would have sounded like. They could have tossed it.
The song is 55 seconds long. This one's fine.
I know. Just share the wealth, you know? in
like
that case,
socialism.
In that case, Finland would have still been working out the benefits of having a minute and a half long song back in 2015, but you know, neither here nor there.
That song was great. They should have just played it twice.
I agree. I think a lot of people would disagree, though. And
I know they would.
Yeah, Einemann Pitta. Einemann Pitta is not necessarily the crowd pleaser for a lot of folks. Anyway, back to Fai Rumore. We don't know how Italy would have screwed up on the edit, because oftentimes they do.
I feel like they would have. Yeah, I forgot that this song, the video itself clocks in at like 3 minutes 50.
Yeah.
But this song is too good. It's undoubtedly, I would fall in love with it, and then they would have screwed it up, cutting it down to 3 minutes.
Yeah, I think this is absolutely gorgeous, though. The first time I heard it, it kind of washed over me, I will admit, just because Sanremo is an absolute freaking marathon. And you have so many songs and so many intervals and so many interviews and just things being thrown at you, and then ad break and then another ad break. And 5 hours later, you're only on song number 3. And so it took me a little while to get back into Fai Rumore, especially considering that I was really, really hoping that the song that came in third, Tactical Nuclear Penguins, would have taken it. But listening to Fai Rumore on its own merits outside the competition, I'm like, this is freaking beautiful. It's evocative. It's anthemic in the way that a Eurovision song could and should be for a sad boy. Mm-hmm. I did connect with the lyrics, and then having everything happen with current events. And I think what really kind of brought it home to me was I saw a video of a group of Italians standing on their balconies in doing social distancing in their neighborhood. I want to say it was Milan, but honestly, it could have happened all over the country, all belting out the chorus to Fai Rumore. Just make noise. You know, the silence is, you know, the silence isn't appropriate. It just hit me like a sledgehammer to the heart. And I absolutely love and respect this one. It's caught me by the ears and the heart, and it won't let go. So your mileage may vary, but for me, I love it.
For me, this is a song, and I don't know if I brought this up when we talked about Russia, but as much as I loved Uno from Little Big, and as much as I would have killed for it to do great, it would have broken my heart if it would have beaten out legitimate works of art like this song. Even though I want to say that I kind of enjoy Uno a little bit more than this one, I feel like that's mean to art as an institution.
I agree with Sam and Danny more than Derek.
That's right, Derek. Go home. Oh, wait.
Yeah, why don't you buy a house? It's just a powerful piece. The dude can belt like no other. I also was disappointed that it wasn't Penguins. But like, after a couple of listens, it was just undeniable that this song just had what a ballad is supposed to have. The emotion, the authenticity, the feeling.
And the story, because apparently he was competing at San Remo against his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, yeah, the subject Levante of the song.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, yikeroo. I will say, I do really think the 3-minute edit of this would have gone down a notch or two. I don't know that it would have mattered. I still think it would have done really well. But yeah, I dread the 3-minute version of this. And well, we're probably not going to hear it. So unless it's on like the CD.
It might be. It might be, which I know is going to be released in a couple of weeks' time. So I don't know if that's going to be on that or if it'll be the full version. But we shall see. We shall see. Any other last thoughts on Italy before we roll on to North Macedonia?
Seems like a cool country. Moving on, we've got Ann Macedonia. I assume this is Nancy Macedonia from Switzerland. She is singing the song, Where Are My Pants? Derek, hit it.
We might only have tonight. Hold me tight and let's ignite. Just wanna dance with you tonight. I just wanna dance with you. You know you.
I have just been informed. I was given a card. I don't know how they got in here, but they gave me a card. It is not Nancy Macedonia. She was disqualified for horse tranquilizers. And this was replaced by North Macedonia, the newest and northernmost Macedonia there is. And it's, what is it? Oh, it's Vassal with you. That's what it was. That's what you just listened to. Not that dumb crap I just said. Anyway, Vassal with you. Sam, what do you think?
Pleasant, enjoyable, not necessarily super memorable. It reminds me of a Hungarian song that we heard at Eurovision back in, I want to say, 2008, 2009. Didn't make it out of the semifinals. It's called Dance With Me.
Oh, and, well.
Yeah, so very appropriate, very on the
nose.
That's
great, because he wants to dance with you.
I know. It's charming. I think his vocal range is really exceptional. You could tell that the guy's had classical training and yet is still well versus a pop musician as well. I think Vassal's engaging, but I just don't think this is as memorable and as instantaneous as a song needs to be at Eurovision, which is a shame. I'm kind of in the middle of the road at this. I enjoy it while it's on, and then the next song is on, and it fades away like... something that fades, like this metaphor, really.
It's firmly with like two or three other songs, and they're interestingly all songs that Danny loves, but like two or three songs this year that really hit the feeling that's just like, yeah, this is solid, but who cares? Like it's just...
What are the other songs, remind me?
That's how I feel about Cyprus.
I do like that song.
Austria a little bit.
I do like Austria.
I think this is between those two in terms of how much I like them. But it's fine, but it's just sort of there and then it's gone. Like Sam was saying, it's just, I don't know. I have a hard time coming up with stuff to say about it because it's just kind of, it's a song. They made a song and nothing... can take that away from them, probably.
I will defend this song from allegations of mediocrity, just as I defended IQ 2 years ago. I'm a sucker for just a nice song with an ethno pop beat. I agree that his vocal ability only elevates what is a pretty by the numbers sort of dancey poppy song.
Yeah,
but I love the ethnic flourishes here and there. And I appreciate any song that I can listen to where my roommate will turn from across the room and just say, oh, he doesn't speak English as a native language. And I really like that. During those very first lyrics when he's like, and I hear a melody. I just love that. That's big fan. It's good. It ramps up nicely. It has a tried and true structure. I guess for those reasons, I can see why this is kind of formulaic to you guys and a little bit forgettable. But I'm a sucker for these kinds of songs. If this song is in a playlist, and I feel like I would skip over a couple more boring songs before settling on this one. This is not even bottom half for me. This is top heavy.
Derek, what about you?
I think, yeah, like Danny said, I think it hits the structure very well. Which does kind of make it formulaic. It's not breaking out of the mold in a lot of ways, but what it's doing very well. I like the tango sound. I don't know if he would be able to dance and sing at the same time, though he seems like a very good dancer.
Not those dance moves, especially not the last part.
I don't know how this would have worked on stage. He'd have to be stationary, and then there'd be dancers around him, which I guess is okay, but I don't think it would really be memorable in that regard, beyond, you know, some nice dancing and all that. I think this is a really good song. I don't think it's a good competitive song. I think this song would be great on a soundtrack.
Or... Yeah, this is a song that works well as if you're not trying to win Eurovision.
Yes. It feels like it reminds me of the dance scene in True Lies or something.
Oh. Like in the bedroom?
Oh, I was thinking of they have to dance in one scene.
No, it's great. Bring it to you drew that.
But I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
I gotta say, if you're looking to not win Eurovision, one of the worst ways you can screw up is to enter the song into Eurovision. Like, what are you doing? It's like if you're a spy and then you get a custom license plate that says spy.
Or introducing yourself with your real name, James.
I realize now that I'm defending this song on the merits of it being a nice song, not for Eurovision, but unfortunately it has been submitted to Eurovision and this is a Eurovision podcast. So unfortunately I have to give it a zero. You suck. Next song.
Wow.
That's a whole nother conversation, but that's the dilemma for every country every year is this a good song or is this a competitive song?
Yeah, we were talking about that with the Belgian entry as well. A gorgeous, gorgeous song.
Release Me is great, but yeah.
Was it right for the contest? And, you know, I feel like this is an episode in itself that we can discuss this, really.
Yeah, we can go into more detail on this later, but I think just in terms of North Macedonia, I think someone would have heard this and said, yeah, this is a really good song. We should send it to Eurovision. And those are two different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, well.
All right. Shall we roll on to another neighbor in the former Yugoslav territories then?
Yes.
Indeed.
We mix these up really well.
Scope out what our friends in Serbia are doing. And they sent Hurricane with Hasta la Vista.
Baby.
All right, that is Serbia's entry, Hasta la Vista from Hurricane, noted subject of Bob Dylan's greatest protest song. They've really changed since the 1960s, and I think probably for the better. They did divide into three young women who have great voices who annoy the hell out of me. So you win some, you lose some. This is the epitome of God. How to describe it? Just like that specific brand of non-English language, like Balkan sexy club dance music. This just feels like it's the latter day version of Dragos Daidente. This is just way too much, and it's you can tell that this is kind of par for the course, being an assembled girl group. Really slamming that pop hit feel down my gullet. It's not my bag. It's not what I'm into. This ain't the worst song in the contest. If Eurovision songs are snack food that I bought at the grocery store, we'll simply say this one will be at the back of my fridge in 2 months.
There are elements. I feel like I say this about a lot of things. There are elements of the song that I do like. I think their voices are great. I do like the energy. The thing that confuses me, though, is the fact that the song itself appears to be a sort of empowerment anthem of, you know, ending a bad relationship and knowing when to say when and getting out and very sort of girl power in that regard. But the presentation is very, very focused on the male gaze.
Yeah, it's very much like Hasta la Vista. Also, I'm 60.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a wee bit trashy.
I wouldn't go so far as to call it trashy, but it is I will say that the intentions are prurient.
Mm.
My best lawyer voice.
That's your lawyer voice?
That's my yes.
What's your orthodontist voice?
It's not in gotten me.
Hold on. We can't offend those people. They're very litigious.
Orthodontists?
Yes.
Yeah.
Watch it.
Yeah.
Eric, I forget your opinions on this one. Eric, do you like this one?
I do like it. There is sort of a weird contrast between the message of the song and the... This is a term that like Rolling Stone liked to use like 10 years ago, but there was a supposed genre called slut wave. that was just like this sort of thing, kind of.
Was that Yvette Mikulčin's unreleased next single?
Yeah.
Like a slut like a very wave. Move genre.
Yeah.
People all over the world. Join the slut wave. Slut wave. Love that.
I love you guys so much. Never ever change.
You took umbrage with me saying trashy.
See what I did.
We sort of brought up, I don't know if we mentioned it on the show, but in regards to Norway's entry, which I actually really love, which is Ulrika's Attention, which is sort of a song that's centered around a woman who, you know, she's singing a song about needing a man so badly. And that song I buy because it almost seems like a character piece. Like she's singing I think we talked about like it almost feels at home in a musical.
Yeah.
The way that it's presented. But this song is just a whole nother level of kind of just mindless girl anthemia.
Okay, so Slut Wave is here's the thing. I see that there's a contrast there, but I think that the idea maybe is that there is something liberating about being sexy and
absolutely
and sexually forward or whatever that is being approached here. I'm so glad I mentioned that genre. It really probably doesn't even fit, but we all know what happened. I also want to say that, Danny, you mentioned this about Ben and Tans, yes, a few episodes ago, that it seemed like there were just too many words. Mm-hmm. That it just felt lyrically rushed because there were just a lot of syllables, a lot of consonants.
We only got 3 minutes and we got 2 pages of lyrics to fit in.
Yeah, that's a little bit how I feel about this song as well, especially in the chorus.
When a pop song is great, the sort of feel of the lyrics feel natural with the song. And in, mm-hmm. Just a handful of these songs, it does feel sort of like the lyrics are being maybe sort of suitcase packed into the song.
Right. Yeah. The chorus feels very full, very, very lyrically full. That is to its detriment a bit. But I do rather enjoy the song for what it is.
Yeah, this isn't necessarily the most, substantive song. This isn't a Thanksgiving meal here. This is a Pop-Tart. This is quite literally a Pop-Tart.
How many of these jokes are we going to make?
How much time you got?
For as middling as this song is, it's really yielding us the wit. Thank you more.
It's fun. It's not deep, but it's fun. And, honestly, anytime that Sonja Vucic comes to a Eurovision stage, I'm all for it because I think she's absolutely brilliant. We saw her in 2016 with a very different song, and I think she's absolutely magnetic. And I'm still not unconvinced that she and Derek are not long-lost cousins. But you have the same eyes. Seriously. Anyway, have we gotten all of Serbia off of our chests? Or
I gotta say, I got something to say.
Come to this, the last song.
Oh wait,
I think the tempo and the speed is a bit much. I wish the song could breathe a little bit more. And I'm not usually someone that's bothered by like a lot of flashy editing and things like that in movies and whatnot. It doesn't really bother me, but in this case, it kind of did. The way you, Sam, reacted to Latvia's or Armenia's
being
the sensory overload, those don't bother me. This one does for some reason. It's just a lot of colors, a lot of movements, but there's no cohesion to it. It doesn't seem to be going anywhere. It's just there for flashiness sake. And I guess the biggest example is at the end of the song, Sonja gets a big note that she's going to sing, and it lasts for, I don't know, like a second. And I'm thinking, you need to hold that note. That needs to go for a while. But she kind of goes, yeah, baby, then done. And I was like, is that it? And if the song were 20, 30 seconds longer, she could really stretch that note out and really kind of showcase what she can do. But here it's just, no, next, next, next. I feel like I'm getting pushed through the song as quickly as possible.
I see what you mean.
They're all exceptionally talented, obviously. And we've heard two of them before on the Eurovision stage. They've, been through it. They're very professional. Like, I don't know. This seems a little, I don't want to say amateurish, but something you'd expect from a younger artist who is still figuring out what they want to do.
Yeah. This really feels like British X Factor, but, in Serbian.
And also Spanish for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have they even seen Terminator 2?
Well, yeah. They
dude, don't be a, don't gatekeep. Don't gatekeep. Come on. Don't be that dude.
No, because it's not what the scene is about. He shoots the frozen robot.
Yeah, he is. He says, hasta la vista, shoots a gun, then gives a thumbs up as he dives into lava, which is what I want this song to do. Anyway.
The song that came out 28 years ago.
All right. Oh, why did you have to say that? What's wrong with you? All right, look. We've got one song left. We've reviewed 40 songs on our cool and entertaining program.
Uh-huh. One more.
One left. One left. Huh? One left.
One left.
It's
what is
San
it?
San Marino again.
Yay!
It's the Netherlands. It's Jungle Jim Macaroon. I had to get one more in before we actually review his song. It's Jungu McCroy with Grow.
Don't take it personally. Don't be offended. Don't mind my mood. Changing like the weather. God knows I try to hold it all together. I'm getting older. It ain't what I thought it would be.
All right, that was Jungu McCroy with Grow. It was the last one of the year for us. I'll start. It's great. It's a really beautiful song, and it's a great reminder to me of how Eurovision can be anything. And to some extent, it almost makes me, I don't want to say angry, but a tiny bit perturbed that there aren't more songs that are this unique in Eurovision. You know what I mean?
Mm. I do.
Like, this is so cool. This is what I want every host country to do. This is what I want most countries to do, really, is to just really kind of put something interesting out there that's different, that we've never heard before. Sometimes it doesn't work, and that's fine. Sometimes it does. And for me, this is one that really, really does. As a mental health advocate and as someone who has been through the things that he is singing about in this song, I find it deeply moving and deeply impactful. And it's not my favorite song of the year. There are other things that just stand out a little bit more in different ways. You know, it's probably not in my top 10. It's close. But gosh, I'm so glad it's there. It's a beautiful piece with a really important message. And that's really all I have to say about it. It's really, really cool. It's just a really, really cool thing to have.
Yeah. I'm in a similar boat with you, Eric. I love it when a host nation takes a moment and kind of takes a moment to kind of breathe, that they realize that they don't, if they're not going for the double, which sometimes host nations aren't necessarily doing, they can take some more risks and do something a little different with their song on their home stage. And I'm so happy that they did. Zhangu is such an incredible talent. Really, really thrilled that we got this song this year and that we'll get to see him next year. He's already been confirmed for 2021. So, so talented. And this is so genuine and heartfelt and real. I mean, Eric, like you were saying, this topic of mental health and of the realization that we're all growing up and it's not what we're expecting it to be. And the video, which is so lonely and solitary, but then grows and becomes something so uplifting and hopeful and ending at a discussion group, at a support group. It's so uncommonly refreshing to see something like that, especially from a male singer. You know, oftentimes female singers, you know, you get more of the, you know, feelings kind of thing, but to have a male focus on that, it's really a lovely thing to see. There's a Swedish song in the Melody Festival this year called Boys of the Motions that kind of touched on this, but it was still lighthearted enough that it didn't feel serious, that this is a struggle that men do tackle and that it's not spoken about as often as it should be. So for Zhangu to take his moment on his home stage to present this song, something so, so personal, it's just ripping his heart out on stage. It's beautifully sung and beautifully presented. I cannot fault the presentation or the vocals. I honor this song. I don't know really what other words to use for it. I am deeply, deeply appreciative of the song, where it's coming from and who it's for.
This song is taking genuine risks, and I'm always surprised at where it's going. And it works in that regard. It combines a lot of different elements without creating too much contrast between them. And the song itself feels like, not that it's, but it's sneaking up on you in a way, in a comforting way. Like when you're sitting at your desk and you're working and you're stressed and someone comes up behind you and puts their hand on your shoulder and that human contact is so warm and reassuring. That's how this song feels. You're not aware of it and then it's there. And I think I wish the song were a little bit longer. I think that would help it stretch that out a little bit. I like where it ends, but I would like to see what he could have done with 3.5-4 minutes too. I'm super excited for next year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah. It some sort of extended version of this where the One Day I'll Find Some Peace of Mind maybe continues to build, put in some hand clap, slow hand claps, repeat that part of the song, throw a choir in there and make it a little more, not too anthemic, but a little more anthemic at the end. That would be a very, very cool version of this song.
I honestly want to listen to, I don't know if he's got a full album in the works. I certainly hope he does. I would love to hear his next track. Like what's his journey? What's next for him?
He has another song out. I heard a clip of it somewhere, but it sounded very different. So
yeah, we're going to see him next year, like I mentioned. So I cannot wait to see. I hope it matches the high level that he's got now.
All right, Danny, what do you think?
You're being suspiciously quiet.
I'm glad that we get to conclude both this episode and our review episode arc as a whole by me confirming to the viewers at home that I don't have a heart. I don't have a heart.
Oh, no.
Oh, Danny.
This song is, at best, nice background noise to me, and at worst, kind of boring. Perhaps I am just not at the right age for this to be relevant for me, but the lyrics have no special appeal to me, and what it feels like to me is a John Legend song that plays echoey in a mall while I go about my shop.
It's cold, man.
You three are going to kill me. I'm a little bit baffled because I feel like this is a problem with me. Because much like what happened with Duncan Lawrence last year, I don't understand why it's the one that won, and I didn't understand what made it special. And perhaps I am just not, I'm just not the kind of audience person who can identify what is special about this song. I just don't know. In all honesty, I don't know what it is, because the appeal of these other very emotional down-tempo songs like Répondez-moi really hits home with me, and Fairu More really hits home with me. I really like those songs. Maybe it's that they're not in English. I don't know. I enjoy sad boys shouting their emotions at me as long as it's not in English.
That is kind of interesting because Répondez-moi and this song I really connect with, but Fairu More, it doesn't do anything for me.
And I'm just the sap who likes all three.
I know.
Sucker.
So as I mentioned before, we will do a full-on episode recapping our favorites from this entire process, as well as talking a little bit about the favorites and least favorites from the little preview party that was recently held by... by us, really, and what we thought of our little select group of people who we invited to our super exclusive party via via the internet. But just focusing on the songs and artists from today, what were some of your least favorites? Eric, I'll start with you. Least favorite.
Least favorite of the week. This is a pretty solid week, I gotta say. But the one that I enjoyed the least, it's gotta be Poland. Not really feeling Poland this time around. You know how we were talking about how Italy does all of the things a ballad should do?
Mm-hmm.
Poland doesn't.
Poland do it.
No.
Poland don't.
Poland's at the far right side of the rubric here.
Yeah. All right. Derek, how about you?
I have to agree, Poland. I think she's a phenomenal singer. I'd like to see her do something a little bit more interesting.
I'm going to have to agree with you. I think Poland, you know, great vocals. I wish her well, but I wish her well with a better song in the future. She's got a great career ahead of her. It was hard for me to pick between Poland and North Macedonia, even though, again, Macedonia, fine, solid, nothing wrong with it. It just wasn't quite there enough for the contest. Danny, what about you? Wrap it up.
For me, it's Serbia. I mean, it's close between Poland and Serbia. But for me, if Poland comes up in my playlist, if it's on my YouTube recommended, I'll listen to the song. Serbia, I will instantly skip. That's the difference. Is Poland is good and enjoyable in some capacity. I really can't see myself fitting with Serbia for any reason.
All right, then let's go a little bit more positive as we end this episode. Derek, what was your favorite from this week?
Oh, the Netherlands. Just really interesting, really different. I wish more countries would try stuff like this. Even if they fail, I'll respect them a lot more for taking the risk.
And that's what you want, is Derek's respect, to be clear. Sounds
Eric,
like a joke. It's not.
It's not.
Me?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Eric, what about
you? Oh, it's Azerbaijan. I realize it feels like we talked about it like 2 hours ago, and we did, but...
It's the magic of editing.
It is a brilliant cacophony of nonsense. And with the staging being as utterly insane as we know it absolutely would have been, this would have been top five. I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever. Maybe higher. It's fantastic. It's insane. I love it. Azerbaijan.
All right, Danny, what about you?
For fun, San Marino, but really Italy.
And I am torn between two really, really fantastic entries, but I'm going to have to give my kudos this week to Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the Netherlands wholeheartedly, but there's just something about the instantaneousness of Italy that got to me a little bit more quickly. But I wouldn't skip either of them on my playlist.
They know how to put real emotion into what would otherwise be sort of I've heard this song before.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
Well said.
Yep. But folks at home, let us know what you think. Are any of our opinions complete and utter BS? And if so, why Danny's? But so yeah, hit us up on social media, Facebook and Twitter. That's 12 Points USA. You can email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Our similarly named website as well, 12pointsfromamerica.com. We'd love to hear from you. And until then, guys.
Well, tune in next week.
Yeah.
And we'll give you our actual overall result from the contest.
Exciting.
Yep. If you've wondered which song is the best, next week you'll know.
Yep. But until then, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
In America,
and stop.
Stop listening.
No. Oh. Close enough.
This episode is already so insane.
It sounds like you said Poland, vampires, go.
Oh.
I did honestly forget what this song was.
Oh, I hope it did sound like I said vampires, because that would be great. Building vampires.